Have you ever heard of bunny chow? Or cook sisters? Babuiti? Chicken tikka? These are all dishes that shaped my world as a child, just because of migration. Come with me, Erica von Kaschke, as we pass the cinnamon stick to people who have come to Australia. Listen to their migration stories, to what they bring to the land down under, and what they get from it.
Welcome to our podcast. My name is Erica von Kaschke, and it's my immense privilege today to be interviewing Azida. Is that the correct way to pronounce your name?
Yeah, it is.
It's my pleasure to walk into this building. Azida works with her mum and dad, and they have the company called Wood and Form Cabinets, and they're here in Canningvale. And I can't begin to describe the feeling when you walk into this workshop, because you can just see all the hard work that has gone into this place. So Azida, tell us a little bit, how do you feel working for your dad?
Okay, first of all, what an intro. I was like, and thanks for having me in your podcast. I feel really proud. Working with my dad and my mom and looking at, you know, everything he built here. And he created this business. Yeah.
So Azira, where did you grow up?
I was born and grew up in this beautiful city in Iran, which called Isfahan. Isfahan is a city in central Iran, and let's say it's 4 or 5 hours driving by car to Tehran, which is the capital.
I once watched a movie that featured Tehran, and I saw this beautiful mountain outside Tehran. It was so spectacular. It seems like Tehran is a country that has spectacular beauty. Is that one of the things that you would encourage people to visit Iran?
Of course, yeah. I would say if you decide to go to Iran, you can experience all four seasons at once. It's like going from south of Iran to north. It's summer, and then you experience the whole weather.
Which flavor did you associate with happy times during your growing up years?
Are we talking about like real flavor?
Yes, we are. It can be anything, like from food to smells or whatever.
Okay, I would say cookies and chocolates, definitely sweet kind of things. That's my favorite. And because I don't know, they remind me of happy time and like very energetic kind of food. Yeah, and flavor. Yeah.
When did your family come to Australia?
We came here 2012, and which is 7.5 years ago, almost 8 years.
So you have you already left school by then, or did you have to go to high school here?
At that time I was 24.
Yeah.
And then graduated from a bachelor in architecture, and I continued doing my master.
How is it different to study in Iran from studying in Australia?
Definitely it's different. Everything is different. Different language, different culture. And I had like really good learn English in Iran, and then in other countries, and traveled in other English talking countries. But just coming here and trying to understand the Australian accent, that was big difference and a bit of struggle maybe.
So what was your first memory arriving in Australia?
First memory, I would say riding bikes along the Swan River with my family. That was a very great memory and experience, just, you know, taking in this beautiful nature and weather of Australia.
How did your family decide to come to Australia?
Oh, okay. That was a big decision. But maybe the main thing, because my brother already migrated here 2005, and we came here for just a visit, and we fell in love. Yeah. And then we moved here in 2012.
Azira, so tell me, what's your mom and dad's name?
Dad's name is a very interesting one to remember. His name is Muhammad Ali.
You know? Oh, wow. That's amazing.
You're never going to forget that. And mom's name is Tayebe.
Oh, that's a really lovely name as well. I really like the pronunciation. Yeah. I feel like every language has this cadence. It's got this flow and it's
true.
Great.
I agree.
How did your dad start his business in Iran?
Maybe I should say this first. He's been always interested in creating things. And when he was at high school, during summer, he used to spend this time with his uncle, which had this carpentry shop. And he learned lots of things from his uncle. And then he studied and he became a school teacher. And after that, he was teaching in school and still he wanted to do something different. And his passion was like creating things out of wood and everything. He was a teacher at the time, but he started creating things at the same time, like running these two, like a very little business from his garage. Yeah, and then he started to making beds and table and chairs and selling it to people and then selling it to, you know, big distributor. Slowly he just grew and he did grow. He just quit his other job being school teacher, and he opened up the workshop and he started his own business. Yeah, since that time he just, you know, keep growing bigger and bigger, and he got to the stage that his business was really successful and really big in my hometown. But then he decided to come here and pretty much he started everything from scratch. He had exactly the same business in Iran, but maybe he was more focused on furniture making and like making products and selling it.
Oh wow. And so where did your parents meet? Was your mom also into furniture making?
No, they met when they were student at uni. My mom, she was also a teacher. Yeah, she was a high school teacher, and she always, she did that. And then when she retired, she was like, yeah, I really want to help your dad. And then she joined the business. And since that time, she's been working with my dad. But it's been always working with wood and woodworking, and because he's very into creating things, and he's very he got this talent for design, and he's very creative.
So do you think he, obviously, you know, the Persian kingdom, as I call it, is well known for its design and really intricate details. Mm-hmm. You know, all the Babylonian stuff is like out of this world. How do you think that influenced your dad?
Maybe just being exposed to that kind of arts and crafts, and just, you know, I grew up with that in that environment. Maybe that's big inspiration it was for him to get into this creative kind of path.
In Perth, within the Iranian community, do you see that real expression of this kind of art form? Do you still see it, or is it something that's a bit hidden?
You mean in Iranian community?
In Iranian community.
I can still see it. It's not, you don't really get to see it that much here, but I think Iranian community, they're still trying to bring it here and keep it in their houses as little as they can. And they're kind of still attached to that form of art.
Can you see that in your business, in your dad's designs? He's still bringing it into the designs?
Yes, I can still see it, but it's mixed with more Western kind of art and style. But the technique and everything he's still using, it's from Iranian or Persian style.
What do you think is the benefit to your business of employing other people from a migrant or refugee background?
I think everyone got a very, you know, their unique kind of way to do things, and they bring their creativity here, and it's just a different kind of creativity, and how they that's a benefit, I think, to our business. And also how, you know, they're coming here because they want to create a better life, and how the hard work is so spectacular, and it's it's very beneficial to any business.
From which countries do your employees come from?
I would say mostly Iran.
Okay.
Yeah, and Australia.
Which lessons have you learned from these employees?
I think the very important lesson I've learned is to always express your ideas, your creative ideas, and just bring it and don't be shy. Just, you know, you're not just employee to, you know, being told to what to do. And but I really like it when they you know, share their ideas and they bring it into business together.
What's it like working in a family business? Like, you're a very young woman, you know, what's it like being this first generation Australian working for your parents?
Yeah, that's very interesting because we have difficult times as well. It's we don't agree on things between us and we always, you know, talk about it. But working with mom and dad around, it's been 1 year and a half, and just, you know, getting to know each other more and working style more. But there's sometimes that we don't agree on things and design, and we just it's not like, you know, we never have argument, but it's like long conversation trying to agree on something. But it's fun. It's really fun just working with your parents and see how, you know, because they always try to help. It's helpful kind of environment, and we always try to help each other in anything.
So do you feel like you? Obviously, you arrived here when you weren't in school anymore.
Yeah.
Do you feel like going to uni here, you've assimilated into Australian society quite well? Like,
yes and no. It's I think it was a little bit of struggle first, but now I'm getting more to know the culture and people, which is really lovely. And just, you know, communicate more with Australian, and I think it's getting more easy now, and we're kind of settling more in, getting used to culture.
So Azira, what do you look for in an employee? What's that essential ingredient that people need?
Genuine interest in what they do. and I think you can still, you know, learn something and experience more, and with working more you can be really good at something, but that genuine interest and hard work. Yes.
What is your future dream for your business?
Definitely grow it bigger bigger than what it is, and I really want to be able to help my customers to create practical and beautiful interior spaces which can be, you know, for everyone and fit in the budget, and it doesn't matter regardless of how small or big your house is.
What advice would you like to give to someone from a migrant or refugee background who would like to start their own business?
I think everyone should take the time and get familiar with the law and regulations here, and know how to set up a business and choose a business structure, because every place, every country, they have their own laws and regulations, which is very important for someone to understand and just create something based on those ones and follow those laws. And it's just, and sometimes when you're seeking those information, you can get lots of help, which is like help from government here is amazing. It's like lots of free workshops and support.
And even within your local council, it seems like you've got a lot of support as well from the city of Canning.
Yeah, that was amazing. I think it was a few months ago that I got to meet them in one of the there was this event, and it's just amazed me how supportive and friendly they are. And we just had this conversation, and they offered me, you know, lots of support and just joined the workshops. And they're just genuine people, always willing to help.
Have you had much support within, you know, the local business community?
Local business community. I've never, got to meet them, to be honest. But like City of Canning is the very first kind of community I've met with them, and I think that's the biggest support I've got so far.
I always finish the podcast with two similar questions.
Yeah.
Everybody gets the same two questions. Which word or phrase in your language did you bring with you and hold on to when you arrived?
One of them is, as you start to walk on the way appears. I really like that one.
And so what is it? Can you say it in Farsi? What's the word?
Okay. It means وقتی که شروع میکنی یه راهی رو رفتن تمام راه ها جلوت باز میشه. Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I translate that.
Yeah,
right,
it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing I really like is I think this is very famous, but I'm pretty sure it's an Iranian phrase which says what you seek is seeking you.
Okay, that's a very good one. Can you say that in Farsi?
هر چیزی که دنبالش میگردی اونم دنبالت میگرده.
That is so nice. So what you're seeking is seeking you.
Is seeking you.
Oh, it's so true. It's in the end the thing that drives you.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, that's really true.
Talk me a little bit through more about this. How? Why did you choose that one?
I think it just tells you that everything is already in you, and what you really want to achieve or get to, it gives you hope that it's not like you're not just dreaming, and it's like it's gonna be real one day, and you have to just keep going and keep moving forward, and to find it, get to it.
Yeah, it's a real hopeful statement that you just have to trust that it will happen, just one day at a time.
I agree.
Which Australian word or phrase did you adopt?
Okay, that's a bit... Okay, definitely this one, I think that... I'm not too sure if this is Australian, but it says everyone must choose one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret.
Oh, wow. It's very deep.
Yeah, it is. I'm not 100% sure if that's Australian or not, but I would say this is one of my favorites. I don't want to regret anything.
What is your biggest dream? Other than I know that you've said you want to see this business grow, but what is your biggest dream for this year?
Oh, just this year. I'm trying to focus to build up a team in my business, because we're a small team now, but I want to grow that one bigger and focus on the culture of the business.
What is the culture of your business?
Okay, I would describe it as we always trying to help people, because I believe if we got skill or knowledge in anything and we are able to help people, we should. And it doesn't matter if it's a very small job and if it's a big job. We're always here to help people.
Yeah, because I love renovation. Like, I love looking. When I walk into an older house, for instance, I always see the potential. Go, wow, this can be this, or what would that? How can you transform this? But also keeping that integrity of the style, and so not destroying what's there, but really going, almost like listening and hearing what the house has to say about what it should look like.
Yeah.
So, how do you help customers, because it can be so overwhelming, the choice of materials. How do you help your customers?
I agree with you. The very first thing I always try to do is to listen to their needs. I just keep quiet at the very beginning, and I just listen to them and see what they like and what sort of style, what is their style. Maybe some people they really like, they're very minimal. Some of them they're very luxury kind of taste they have. But I try to listen to their needs and style, and based on that, I just recommend what sort of finishes and colors and material they can go with. And that's it.
You mentioned that you studied architecture. Did you do that particularly because of the line of business? Did you know that you were going to work with your dad, or did it just happen? Was it really one of your passions?
Honestly, I didn't really plan to work with my dad, but because I grew up with seeing him having his own business, just trying to do something different and helping people and being very creative. Maybe that's why I chose architecture, because architecture to me includes all different arts in architecture. Because you can pick all other arts, but architecture is it's a whole kind of different thing which got different kind of arts in it. So I selected that one, and I've learned different things through architecture. I really think look at this business as an art and being creative.
And a lot of people are now going more towards the sustainability in architecture. Yeah. Is that something that your company is also pursuing, or how do you look at it?
Sustainability is getting really big and people really care about that. Yes, I would say that's something, because if you try to create something more sustainable, it's very efficient, like in saving energy and time, and affect lots of other things, which I definitely encourage, and we're trying to have it in our products or in our service and in our design.
If anybody wanted to see more of your work, where could they go?
They can definitely check out our website, woodenform.com.au, and they can also check our Instagram page.
Thanks so much for speaking to us, and it was a real pleasure. I hope all the best for you and the company.
Thank you. Pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much.